Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, this is Heath Mulliken from the Double Dropkick Show, and I am honored to be joined tonight by Robert Truesdale, a.k.a. Redbeard, host of Wrestling with Redbeard, and kind of the curator of the Carolina Professional Wrestling Awards, and that's what we've got him on here tonight. Robert, how are you doing, man? Great talking with you.
I'm doing fantastic, Heath, and I want to say thank you for not only having me on the program here, but also for you and Mark being a part of our panel with the CPWAs this year. You guys had a very important role, so I appreciate your time and efforts there.
Oh, absolutely. So for people who you and I talked last year, you were kind enough to reveal the winners on our podcast. Talk a little bit for people who are listening for the first time what the CPWAs are.
Well, the CPWAs are the Carolinas Professional Wrestling Awards. This is the third year of this particular set of awards. We have lineage that dates all the way back to the Carolinas Independent Wrestling Year-End Awards, which is something that existed almost a decade ago. So some instance of these has been around for a good long while. But we are a different breed in terms of how our awards come together. We exist as sort of myself being the moderator, or to borrow Paul Heyman's terminology, the advocate of the CPWAs. And like you said, sort of the curator as well, because I take great pride in documenting these things and whatnot. But we go through a process starting almost at the beginning of each year where we begin recruiting our panel. The panel is made up of seven individuals. They go through the year making inspections of various shows that they attend, things that they see. But we also, for the first time this year, brought about a nominations process where the public was able to send content directly to our panel members.
Right.
That was a response to some things that people said, you know, you guys ought to do more in terms of trying to include the general public. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think we're going to be able to do a little bit more in the future. So we'll maybe put that in there as a teaser. But this was the first year for public nominations. We gather all that material together, and then the panel convenes just here recently. As you can say to yourself, we were all talking about various things. And we pull together our nominations. From the nominations, we limit things down to our finalists, which are sort of the top three of each category in terms of percentage. There's some math behind the scenes here, so if you weren't good at algebra, you might not be too keen of this part of the process. But from our finalists, we have final voting, and then our winners are determined from those top three of each category. So it's a fairly involved thing when you look at all the bits and pieces of it, but we've tried to make this as legitimate a process as possible. Right. And including a diverse number of people on our panel. We always try to include someone who's like a photographer, someone like yourself who's a podcaster, various other people who have experience either as referees or in-ring talent. Like this year, for example, we had the honor of hosting C.W. Anderson as one of our headliners on the panel this year.
Right.
So it was great to have him, great to have the whole panel assembled there. Very proud of the group this year and the fact that they were communicative, responsive, and very respectful to the whole process. So things went very well this year. I'm very pleased.
Yeah, you in the years that I've been following it, you've always done a really good job of getting a really diverse group of panelists who not only diverse in their backgrounds, their involvement in the wrestling business, their but also their, you know, location. It's not just people from one concentrated area, but people who are kind of spread out throughout the Carolinas. So it was an honor to be a part of it. We were really you know, when we started our podcast, we could never have imagined, you know, being a part of something like this, or even, you know, some of the things we've been able to do with Three Count and other promotions. So, well, everybody, this is what you've been waiting for. So let's go ahead. We're going to announce the finalists. And then, as you heard Robert saying, the panel will take these finalists and then vote them. So let's start out with our Referee of the Year category. Who are our finalists there?
Well, I want to show, just since you've got your live feed going there in terms of your video feed anyway, this is hot off the presses. The actual list of finalists as we will have this year. And as you can see, there are a good number of names on there, but we'll start with the referees you mentioned there. For the finalists this year, we have James Hunter, Kevin Pierce, and Jared Fritz. Those will be our referee of the year category.
What was the – you kind of cut out the one before Jared Fritz.
Oh, Jared – Ray Boring, I'm sorry.
Ray Boring. All great, really good referees, and again, from a wide range of promotions here in the Carolinas. Now, who won that award last year?
Last year, oh, you're going to quiz me on something here.
Sorry, didn't mean to put you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I'm going to try and remember who it was here. I think it was Antrone Brewer, D.A. Brewer, who's actually now in WWE NXT. How could I forget about him?
Yeah, that's
actually,
right,
just ran into him here a couple of weeks ago in the NXT event that was in Aiken, South Carolina.
Oh, cool.
So that's proof of concept, I guess you could say, in our awards, recognizing top talent in the area.
That's right. Well, next, let's go to Ring Announcer of the Year.
Ring Announcer, you have a couple of people in this who are recognizable names, and you got a couple who are kind of up and coming. We have Corky Franks, Brett Wolverton, Tim Blaze, Katie Sparks, and CL Party.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Great talent there. Great diversity. And it's, you know, Brett's been around, former winner of this award. And again, that's one great thing about these awards is not just hearing familiar names, but hearing these up and coming names. Exactly. Next, let's go Manager of the Year. Who we got for that?
Manager of the Year. I will go ahead and tell you one thing about this category before we get into the actual names. This category we almost shelved this year because at the start of the year, it sounded like, okay, we don't have that much of a focus on managers anymore. But then as the year progressed, it was like, well, wait a minute. We've got this group of guys and girls who are like just really focused on bringing back the concept of a manager to professional wrestling in this area. So we would have done a real disservice to these folks if we had, you know, put this thing on the shelf. So I'm glad we didn't. But for Manager of the Year, our finalists are George South, Coach Mikey, the Tommy Thomas, and the fabulous playboy, Bob Keller.
Oh, man. There you go.
That's kind of a murderer's row of managers right there, in my opinion.
Listen, you want to talk about that? This is what's so great about wrestling is those four names, completely different.
Exactly.
But all do such a tremendous job and have such a great effect on matches. So next, let's go talk about a Rising Star of the Year.
Okay, now I'll go ahead and tell you, this one's going to take a little bit of time to get through because I think this is proof of the kind of talent we have out there because of the fact that the way we do our math with these finalists, we normally would have just like a top three or whatever based on the ratio.
Right.
But there was such a diverse offering in terms of the nominations that we had to include, let's see, 1, 2, 3. There's about 14 names on this list.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's just one of those things. But here we go. Rising Star of the Year, our finalists are White Mike, TJ Boss, Timmy Lou Retton, Austin Jordan, Tracer X, Darius Lockhart, Mason Miles, Drew Adler, Chet Sterling, Mr. Sleaze, Shay Shay McGrady, Ian Maxwell, Brady Pierce, and Axton Ray. Now, I think you could probably build a solid show out of just that list of talent there, period.
Yeah.
But that's just further recognition of the up-and-comers that we have in this part of the world.
And then, again, the diversity. Somebody like Brady Pierce, real big powerhouse, just debuted with PWX a few weeks ago or last month, to somebody like Tracer X, high flying. I mean, that's one thing I love about the Carolinas is it's not vanilla. We got a diversity of all shapes, all sizes, all different types of characters. Really, really exciting stuff. Let's move on to a feud of the year.
Feud of the year. We had some real hot contests throughout a lot of different promotions in the Carolinas. And that's a testament to the people we have behind the scenes working and booking and angles and trying to create something that is creatively interesting for our fans, as opposed to just, you know, throwing matches out willy nilly. You know, this is a real testament to the storytellers, in other words. Starting off with Feud of the Year, we had the Syndicate versus the Ugly Ducklings. Then that was from Premier Wrestling Experience. We had James Drake versus Shay Shay McGrady from Palmetto Championship Wrestling.
Absolutely.
Trevor Lee versus CWF from CWF Mid-Atlantic. If you've not been paying attention to what Trevor Lee has done over the past 2 years or so with his run as the CWF Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion, you need to start paying attention to their YouTube channel. That's just a little plug there for them and what they do with their work. Next, we had the Heat Seekers versus the Geordie Bulldogs from AML Wrestling. Those two have been back and forth feuding over the AML Tag Team Championship for a majority of the year. Some great matches there. And then also we had Corey Hollis versus John Skyler from PWX. Of course, those two just had a tremendous no-holds-barred match at their most recent event up there in Concord, North Carolina. I think more blood was spilled in that particular contest than I've seen in a long time.
Right.
So that gives you a sense of how intense that feud was.
And I have so much, you know, all of those feuds you mentioned are ones that I heard of and followed this year. And I don't think people understand in today's independent wrestling how hard it is to book a feud. There are so many promotions. Guys are working so many different places. And there has to be this loyalty to a promotion, a loyalty to the idea. And everybody, all these nominees, they have they just knocked it out of the park and got an opportunity to do something special. And I'm excited to hear the winner of that course. In all these categories, I mean, these people are all nominees, but they're nominees because they all can win.
Exactly. A lot of top talent in this area in terms of people who could be working anywhere in the world, and we're fortunate enough to have them right here in the Carolinas.
That's right. All right, next we've got Female Wrestler of the Year.
Female Wrestler of the Year, we had another diverse offering here. A lot of talent in this area. Unfortunately, don't see women's wrestling featured on that many shows, but it's almost quality over quantity, I guess you could say, in some sense of the term. Yeah. But hopefully 2018 will bring about a little bit of change in that regard. So we had, as our finalists for the Female Wrestler of the Year category, Ariel Monroe, Kira Hogan, Roni Nicole, Samantha Starr, Savannah Evans, and Casey Carlisle.
Oh, wow. Great list of names there. So here's my question is, you and I were talking in what I would call the pre-show about, you know, places to train here in the Carolinas, and I know there's some similarities training men and women, but there's a little bit of a specialty to that, and it would be great to see, and I know George South has trained some of the best women's wrestlers in the world, but it would be great to see somebody in our area just kind of become the premier women's wrestling training place around.
It would be, you know, and that's a sort of an opportunity to knock on the door of the Palmetto Wrestling Academy there in Columbia.
Right.
I know there's a couple different training programs that are really doing some great things nowadays, but I think, too, it's going to take somebody almost saying to ladies in the area, you know, who might be a CrossFit competitor or someone who's been involved in some form of athletic competition to say, hey, why don't you come try professional wrestling?
Right.
This might be something you could excel in, because there's opportunity and there's money to be had in that, I don't want to say genre, but that style of wrestling.
Yes.
And it's just going to take a few people to jump in there and say, hey, we can do this. We can prove to people that women's wrestling belongs in the forefront.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree. All right, let's talk about Tag Team of the Year. Who we got for this one?
Tag Team of the Year, I think here again, you could put these guys on any card in the world and they'd be able to do amazing things. We'll start off with the Syndicate. That's going to be TJ Boss and Timmy Lou Retton. Mm-hmm. Then you have the Dawson brothers. If you haven't seen these two guys, they're a couple of monsters from up around Eastern North Carolina.
Right.
Zane and Dave Dawson. You have the Ugly Ducklings. Of course, Rob Killjoy and Lance Lude there. And then topping things off, the Jim Asty boys, which kind of makes for an interesting dynamic because you have White Mike being a member of the Jim Asty boys, but also Timmy Lou Retton. So he technically is nominated twice in this category.
That's pretty
amazing.
That's
an amazing thing.
Yeah, he and you're talking about, this is how talented this young man is. That's two completely different teams.
Yep. Two teams that could not be more diverse or on polar opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of their style and presentation, because you've got the Jim Asty boys who, I won't get too far into it because I know we like to keep things on the PG side of things,
right,
with the old Dropkick Show. But, you know, you've got various things you can look into with the Jim Asty's, but then
right,
the Syndicate, you've got that whole other side of things there where they're more of that just real violent, straightforward, commanding sort of Nation of Domination type group there.
Yeah.
So it's a real testament to Timmy Lou's talent and, again, the kind of athlete he is, you know, being able to do the things that he does in the ring besides just be that character. So it's a great testament to him.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. Well, finally, this is the biggie. Let's talk about the finalists for Wrestler of the Year.
Well, I tell you, I think we probably hit the nail on the head with this one more than we have in several years. But we've got what I would say definitely are the top three in the Carolinas represented in this category here this year. For the finalists in Wrestler of the Year category for 2017, we have Zane Dawson, who is, again, a monster. If you've never seen him before, you need to start paying to AML Wrestling or paying attention to AML Wrestling.
Yeah.
He and George South leading the Expendables there. Great piece of work all the way around. Next up, Trevor Lee, CWF Mid-Atlantic Heavyweight Champion. I think he's going, if he's not 2 years deep into that run, he's pretty close to it.
Yeah.
So, here again, amazing piece of work there. And then capping things off, the enforcer, the new age enforcer himself, Mr. James Drake, is our finalist, our last finalist for the Wrestler of the Year category.
Yeah, again, all three of those nominees so different in their styles, but yeah, all three have just been so good here recently. And Trevor Lee, you know, one of those guys, technically not in the Carolinas, but getting great opportunities with Impact Wrestling. He's been a multiple time, you know, X Division champion there. And then, as you mentioned, I don't know, has there ever been anything like in the Carolinas his CWF run where they, like you said, that's a feud of the year, him against the whole promotion.
Really and truly, and if there has been, I've not heard of it. But, you know, you could almost say the same thing for James Drake, only breaking it down in terms of him having been dominant in various promotions, because for the majority of the year, he's been in control of the heavyweight title in Action Pack Wrestling up in Chester, and also the Palmetto Championship Wrestling heavyweight title.
Right.
So he's carried around a lot of hardware himself. These are three guys that if you were to walk down a dark alley, I don't think I'd want to see either one of them. But
That's just right.
One of those things where I'm glad they're in the ring and not out there running roughshod on the rest of us. So.
Right, right. Now, you, if people are listening to this, they can actually support the Carolina Pro Wrestling's Award. You have, or you did have a Patreon set up. How can people go, just to kind of get behind this? And really, like, we're trying to build a community with these awards and, great Facebook page. Tell people where they can go to connect, Facebook, the Patreon page. Where can they go to find out about all that?
The best place to go is the Facebook page. What we've got there is an opportunity for you to use the search function to find us. Unfortunately, we don't have a nice little neat URL where it's like facebook.com/CPWA or whatever else.
Right.
If you go into the search bar there and type in Carolina's Professional Wrestling Awards, you'll be greeted with a couple of different responses there, but it should be the top one that you see in the list of responses there from the query. And go into the group there, and the pinned post has links to the Patreon page, our bylaws, a couple of historical documents for our records as far as who's been a winner previously, all kinds of good stuff there that's all in the group and Facebook. We don't have a Twitter feed. I'm not a huge Twitter user, but Facebook there, we've got a pretty good collection of stuff. So that'd be the best place to look.
Yeah, and we'll have links to all that in the show notes for this. And then also, you got some T-shirts on soscustomtees.com. They've been great friends of the show. Yeah. You can go get the Wrestling with Redbeard shirt there. And then I think there's a award shirt there too, right?
There is. There is a CPWA official T-shirt. Should have brought one into the show here. I would have showed it off on the video feed. SOS Custom Tees, that's where you can go for some merchandise for both Wrestling with Redbeard and CPWAs.
And also a great place to, you can get great DVDs from Battlezone Wrestling and other great promotions from the Carolinas. Absolutely. That's always been one of my high spot. I mean, excuse me, PWX does a great job. AML, we try to do a great, do it with Three Count. But I wish more promotions had their videos out there. I mean, even if I had to pay for them. You know, Battlezone has their DVDs, which is awesome. I've got a nice little collection here. But I just wish more promotions were putting their stuff out, making it available to the public.
It would be great. And, you know, it's a little surprising in this day and age with the prevalency of streaming services like YouTube, Daily Motion, whatever else, Vimeo even, that more promotions aren't putting stuff out there. And it doesn't have to be full matches. It doesn't have to be, you know, but right, your whole show by any stretch of the imagination. Just, you know, give people enough to wet their whistle. Put a highlight package out there. Show off some of your talent that you've got. Somebody that might not be getting an opportunity somewhere else. Say, you know, you got Tracer X as part of your program. Put a highlight package out there for him or whoever else you might have. And just grow things that way. But hopefully, as things continue to become more economical with cameras and software and whatnot, people be able to take better advantage of things like YouTube in the future.
All right, so let me put you on the spot here for a 2018 spoiler alert, okay? So this would be a two-part question. Are there any great categories? You mentioned, you know, you thought about dropping the manager one, and then it became a hot year for managers. Are there any categories you thought, hey, we may need to tweak this, or hey, here's a category we need to add? So that would be part one of my question.
You know, I think we've got a pretty good offering at this point in time in terms of our overall layout. There have been a couple of things that have been brought up, like the idea of doing a promotion of the year or potentially a match of the year type award. Right. Those kind of things are so subjective that it'd be kind of hard to put together in terms of saying, okay, this is actually what we're going to look at as far as the basis for giving away the award.
Right.
So we might possibly look at those there, because there are a couple things that I want to look at in the off season this year. Well, I say off season, we pretty well start doing things from day one in the calendar year as far as recruitment and whatnot of our panelists is concerned. But I want to take a look at that, and I mentioned this earlier. I want to take an opportunity to try and involve the public a little bit more here next year. I've got a couple things in the old brain up here that are maybe going to pan out, but that's something that I want to try and do next year as far as including more voices beyond just the people that we recruit for the panel. As far as any other kind of categories, I don't think that we would be on the verge of shelving any of these at this point in time because, as you said, manager, you know, that sort of redeemed itself.
Yeah.
I think the other one that could have potentially been in that same risk of being put on the shelf was maybe ring announcer of the year. Mm-hmm. But it's become viable here again.
Right.
Yeah, and you talked about video production and whatnot. If we ever get to a point that we have – enough broadcast opportunities, and I'm not just talking about TV, I'm talking about online streaming services here as well, and DVD production, where we have announcer or like commentary teams.
Right.
If we could include that at some point in the future, that'd be great as well. But here again, you have to have enough sample size to actually make the award worth giving away, as opposed to just saying, here, you guys did this during the year, so here's your plaque type thing.
Yeah, I wouldn't want Mark and I to win that by default, just because we're still the only ones. But again, there are some great commentary teams around here in the Carolinas, and that's including yourself recently on the APW show.
And I'm not going to toot my own horn. Me and Michael Elliott, we've been trying to get something going there, but we'll have to see how it goes in the future.
All right, so here's my other question. As we move into 2018, who are some names maybe that we didn't mention with this year's awards that you would say, hey, keep an eye on these people as moving forward? These are some young stars or some guys who are building momentum.
Well, I'll tell you one name that I've kind of been crowing his talents for a while here, and he started to get some attention in various promotions in the Carolinas. That's top-tier nutrition, Drew Adler. I think he is one of those guys who has the combination of physique, charisma, the in-ring ability to really be something in this business. You look at him, and he has the appearance of a young Randy Orton almost in terms of the way he's built. So I think he's one who could be a top draw for sure in the next couple of years. I also look at somebody like Tracer X to really have a breakout 2018, because he's been one of those guys who's been on the cusp here for a while in terms of being able to get that next foothold into a bigger promotion, like, you know, your PWXs and your AMLs and whatnot. I also look at a guy like Darius Lockhart, who is a great talent. He is one of those guys who, much like a Cedric Alexander, has that skill set to where he's able to do a lot in the ring. Certainly a charismatic young man, and just, you know, a very unique individual as well. So I'd say those three there probably are not the only ones, but definitely three that I would say they're on the verge of great things in the next year or 2 years.
Yeah, it's been great to see a guy like Billy Brash, who really wasn't in the game for a while, to see him come back and just better than ever, and having some and not just and wrestling different places. It's been
good. Billy's been all over the place here. Billy's a great talent. I know him and Joshua Cutshaw have been doing great things as a tag team. They call themselves the Monster Squad. I was confused here a little bit ago. I thought they were calling themselves the Hellhounds, but that was a different group that they had been working with in Georgia. And talk about the Georgia scene sort of migrating over to the Carolinas. And in our pre-show discussion here, we were talking about various talents as well. And I brought up the name of Sean Legacy. That's a young man who I think if he were to get an opportunity in the Carolinas, people would see him and, again, see another opportunity to take advantage of a young talent who has really gotten no exposure outside of one or two promotions in Georgia. So it's a great chance to have somebody bring him in and take advantage of that.
I would love to see I would just love to see the Carolinas, you know, continue to grow number of promotions, number of wrestlers, because we're getting to that time of year when we're probably going to lose some guys to the big time, and guys are going to get signed, which is always, it's awesome. You mentioned Antoine Brewer, who's, you know, now a referee for NXT, and even though it's, you know, it was sad to lose a guy like Cedric Alexander, because you used to just drive 2 hours, you can see him wrestle, and matter of fact, right now he's probably getting ready to appear on Monday Night Raw as you and I are recording this.
Probably is,
which is awesome. But again, that opens up the spot for somebody else. So I'll put the challenge out to these young guys. You see guys from the Carolinas who have made it and are making it, and you've got to step up your game. You got to step up your training. You got to step up your abilities and what you do in the ring. And I look forward to covering all that in 2018 and beyond. So any final thoughts before we jump off here and go check out the Survivor Series Fallout?
Well, you know, I really do think you hit the nail on the head there with your commentary about making sure that these guys know what opportunity lies in front of them. As you were saying those comments, I was thinking of the number of talents that we've seen get signed from our part of the world in the past 2 years. Cedric Alexander, Gunner, Dash Wilder, Scott Dawson,
yeah.
No Way Jose, D.A. Brewer. You know, all these guys have come from this part of the world. Mm-hmm. They're looking here for talent. And it's Caleb Conley. Throw his name in there as well. Trevor Lee, guys who are getting opportunities with Impact Wrestling.
Right.
You know, we always think of WWE, but Impact is still sort of a viable product. They're Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
You've had guys like Chase Brown get called up there.
Elijah Evans just did some
Elijah
stuff.
Evans. Exactly. The opportunities are there for the people who want to work, who want to treat it as a serious opportunity, because here again, there's always going to be a need for new talent in these bigger promotions. And if you're there, if you're viable, they're going to take a look at you. So got to be ready.
And I'm speaking from experience. Wrestling promotions are always looking for people who are going to be consistent, who are going to be take pride in what they do, that they're not just phoning it in, and who take advantage, you know, whether you're the first match or the main event, that you put on a great show and you do at your absolute best. And you can't take any nights off in wrestling, that's for sure.
Exactly.
So, Robert, thank you so much for letting us be the official home of the announcement of the finalist. Make sure you go to Facebook and join the group so you can follow and everything. And I'm sure when we're ready to announce the finalist, we'll have Robert back on and talk about that and just kind of do a little year in review. How does that sound?
Sounds great to me, Heath. It's always a joy to talk to you.
Awesome. Well, have a great evening. This is Heath Mulliken for the Double Dropkick Show. We're on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, DoubleDropkick.com. We're everywhere, people. So check us out. And so for Robert, this is Heath, and we'll talk to you later.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.